During the month of June of this year, my sabbatical gave me the opportunity to walk an ancient pilgrim road to Rome called the Via Francigena, along with my two daughters and two other walking companions from the Midwest. We started walking in a town in northern Tuscany called Alto Pasio. And after just a few miles of walking, we decided to stop into a little store and replenish our supply of water. And that became the first of many, many experiences of kindness shown toward us. When the woman at the store learned that we were pilgrims walking on this road to Rome, she not only refused to take any money for the water, but she reached back to the shelf and took down this huge loaf of freshly baked round bread and gave it to us with many words of blessing and encouragement for our travel that was ahead of us. And when we continued our journey, we learned that this was a custom that goes back, I'm sure, a long, long, long time along that pilgrim road, that people give bread to the pilgrims who pass by. And I'm sure that in a lot of cases, the people who received that bread were very hungry, physically hungry. People who were making that journey dependent on the fact that others would be able to provide for their needs as they went along. And it made me think about all of the different needs that we have when we hear Jesus talk about the bread that is given. And when Jesus talks about himself as bread in this story that we're hearing over 5 weeks now, I tend to think about all of the different needs that we have within us when we hear that. And I think it definitely shapes how we hear that as a word of life for us in our own journey that we make. When we stopped into that little store that morning, we weren't physically hungry. We had even brought already lunches with us, and there was no concern that we wouldn't have enough to eat. But that bread came along with words of blessing and encouragement. And as I look back now, I think that's probably what we were really hungry for. We were just starting out. We were visitors in another country, strangers really in a foreign land. And I think I would say, at least for me, this whole identity of being a pilgrim on that road was very undeveloped, maybe even very uncertain of what that really meant. And could I count myself among these others who did it, maybe with a lot more deeply spiritual reasons? But I think when she gave that blessing, and when she saw us and listened to us and then counted us among the thousands of people who had made that journey before us, she was really giving to us, I think, the bread that we were hungry for. It was a way of affirming within us, yes, you are a part of this, and you are a pilgrim yourself. And that was something that sustained us for a long way in that journey. It was just about a month before that I remember sitting in the small little welcome area of the Lutheran Urban Mission in inner city Vancouver during the first part of my sabbatical. And when Pastor Brian Heinrich, who is the pastor of that ministry, brought me there, I could really see also how in that place people were being fed and nourished with the bread of life. And for so many of them in that poorest neighborhood in all of Canada, the bread that was being given, the food that was there, was probably something that all of them shared a hunger for. Most of them were homeless and transient people, and so it was important to know that when they came there, there would be something to eat to sustain their bodies, and that there would be enough that they could take at home with them in bags as they went back to their place. But what I also noticed, of course, among those people was hunger in many different forms. Just as people who typically would have been out on the sidewalk, passed by everyone else, I think just the hunger to be seen and to be recognized and to be listened to and to be acknowledged as a human being, as a person with dignity, was the bread that they were being given. I watched as their faces would light up when Brian would not just call them by name and talk to them, but ask them about things in their life that he knew about from previous conversations. And I could see the way they just enjoyed being together, the way they laughed and joked in that environment, which was very anxiety-producing all around them, that there was a community here, in some ways like that one that Paul was describing, and that they were in a place where they felt they could be themselves in that way because of what had happened and because of the safety that they felt there in that little tiny place that was tucked away underneath all of these gritty buildings of Vancouver. But also, I think what really struck me is when Brian brought me back through a hallway to just a little room that he had created, that had made into a chapel. And as I came in there, there were also many signs that this was a community that was being nourished and fed, where bread was broken and shared. On the walls, there were different icons, some of them of saints and martyrs that we would remember. Some of them were of people out of the history of British Columbia that had been a part of the work among the poor. And then among those icons were also some pictures of homeless people who had come and been a part of that community and died while they were there living in that area and living among those people, perhaps not recognized by anyone else. But when I saw a picture, for example, of Ricky Lavallee, who had been baptized in that little chapel shortly before he died, it was, again, this real deep sense of a community that was being nourished and fed together. But above all, in there, too, I was clear that this was a community that shared the Eucharist together regularly. All of the things for the Eucharist were present there on a little table that Brian had put out. And I sat there in the quiet of the afternoon and just thought about what that experience was like for those people to be gathered in that way and to share that meal, the significance of that. And what came to my thoughts more than anything were the words broken and shared. And it just struck me as I sat there that that was probably a group of people, a community of people that understood that at a much deeper level than I do, what it means to be a part of this life where God is broken and shared and given to us in the brokenness of our life. And then I saw the poster that was on the wall of the chapel that gave the mission statement of this Lutheran Urban Mission Society. And it was simply said, in response to the gospel and to the needs that we see around us, our mission is to serve God by being a prophetic, Eucharistic community, by connecting the larger church to the urban poor. Many, many words there, but what I still live with, this is several months ago now, almost 3 months ago or more, is that sense of what they mean when they say a prophetic, Eucharistic community. What does that mean to be a prophetic, Eucharistic community? Not just when we are right here in this place today, but to be a prophetic, Eucharistic community in all that we are in our lives and in the world around us. And I began to think about that more, especially again in the context of this gospel story that is being told all over the world over these 5 weeks of summer. And I think more than anything that draws me more into that gospel story, when I go back to the beginning and remember something that John said in the telling of this story, which maybe was lost by many of us, or if we weren't here to hear the beginning, John framed this whole long story with a simple phrase, that this took place during the celebration of the Passover. That's the important thing to remember about this story, where Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, shares it with all who are there. That this is something that is a transformation in so many ways of what the Passover is, and an expansion for all of us of what it means to be included in that. In the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the institution of the Eucharist, it comes at the end of the Gospel, near the end, on the night before Jesus was betrayed, and of course it was during the festival of the Passover. But John doesn't mention that at the end of Jesus' life. he talks about foot washing. But for John, the Eucharistic story really at the center of John, I think, is this one, right woven into daily life, woven into this place out in the world where Jesus is, where he takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to all so that all may eat. It's a beautiful way of, I think, seeing how this is John's way of expanding this story so that we might also hear it as an invitation. When we come to this meal today, all of us come with very different forms of hunger within us. A lot of us who gather here, and certainly people who gather around the world today, come with a physical hunger for gifts to sustain our bodies in many ways, for sometimes for health and healing and wholeness, or for material things that we need in order to have just a life that is the kind of life that God wants for us. But also, so many of us come with other forms of hunger. We come with, oftentimes, just, I think, a hunger for grace, for a kind of sense of mercy or forgiveness in our troubled lives. We come with a hunger for peace, often, a hunger for love. I think a lot of us come just with a hunger for acceptance, the freedom to just come who we are, and to know that we are loved and accepted in that way. A lot of us come with a hunger to know who we are, perhaps, or to know who God is calling us to be. And as we come, and as we are nourished and fed, I think someone might look at that, and a skeptic might see this one loaf that is brought and put on the altar, and say the same thing that the disciples did at the beginning of this gospel story that we started with 2 weeks ago, where they looked at all the people and that measly amount of food, the few little loaves and fish, and said, what is that among all of these people and with all of these needs? And I think all we can do is extend the same gracious invitation that the psalmist extends to us, the one we have sung already in worship. Taste and see. That's just a beautiful invitation that draws us in. Just come, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think that has to be really at the center of what it means to be a prophetic, Eucharistic community. Because I can't think of any other way that we are drawn into this place where we become imitators of God, as Paul says, unless we taste and see, unless we come and open our lives and allow God to nourish us and feed us in all of the hunger that we bring. And then it is, I think, when we get to that place where we become what we eat, to the point where we become the bread of life, the bread that is broken and shared for other people, and the love that is freely poured out for others. In a blog that I posted right after some of those first experiences of being given bread in many different forms along that pilgrim road in Italy, I said, now I'm on the receiving end of all of this every day, but already I can feel myself wanting to turn and do the same for others. And now I am so glad to be here. That's here among you where I can answer that call together with you in this place of grace. Amen.